that establish our Christian living. Scriptures on how we can get God's help. The first one was, I will not fear, God is always with me. The second one, I will not doubt, because God is always in control. Last week, I will not despair, because God is always good. Now tonight, we look at, I will not falter, God is always watching. Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings. I will not falter because God is always watching me.
Amen.
You see, that's a motivation to keep doing right. If you're alone and you're thinking nobody else knows, you know, God knows. And this verse tells us we are before the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord ponders what we're doing, what we're thinking. And what we're thinking can be as bad or better than what we might do. As a matter of fact, what we do will come from what we think. Chapter 15, same book, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So you do good, the eyes of the Lord are watching you. That's a motivation to keep doing good. God sees what I'm doing. God likes it when we do good. Say, well, I don't do it to be seen of man. We're not talking about being seen of man. We're talking about being seen of God. And it pleases God when he sees us do good, the same as it displeases him when he sees us do evil. In the book of Numbers chapter 6, I'll give you a second to get there. It's one of the reasons I keep extra ribbons in my Bible so I can get to them quicker, okay? Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I will not falter because the blessing of God is on my life. I pray for the blessing of God. I desire the blessing of God. But if I understand this verse, he is already blessing me. And he is making his face to shine upon us. Wow, that's wonderful. That's thoughtful. God is watching me. Right now, he's watching you. He sees you sitting where you are. For us, it's here in the church building of Black Creek Baptist Church. For other believers, it's wherever they sit. And oh my God, it is so sad, the number of Bible-believing, Bible-based churches that no longer have a Wednesday night service. I'm glad our Wednesday night service is called a prayer meeting. It has a place for the preaching of God's word. It has time when we sing, but it's a time when we gather for prayer. I've known of churches that have diverted from the prayer emphasis, very honestly, because they couldn't get many people out. Invite somebody out. Well, I don't like to pray in public. And no matter how often I would tell them, you don't have to pray. You can just sit there and in your heart and mind pray silently. Others will audibly pray, but you don't have to. But they don't come because the prayer emphasis, I believe, is convicting to them. So they don't come. And when that happens long enough, I understand why the pastor and leadership of a church would change to a midweek service. And that what that is a mini version of a Sunday service. And people feel good because we still have a Wednesday night service. But Wednesday nights have traditionally been for decades upon decades a time of prayer. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of a prayer time. It's not insignificant in the life of this church. God is watching us as we sit there and pray. When the men go in the back room, sit around the table, and in the other room, there's two tables, they sit around them, and God watches and he sees. He hears those who lead in prayer, but listen to me, he hears everybody's prayer. Because they do not have to be done audibly. When you pray out loud, it's for the benefit of others. Okay? In a sense, you're leading them in praying. And that's why I always encourage when you pray in a public service like this, when you pray, pray loudly. Don't, this is going to seem awful, but don't bow your head. Okay? Because when you bow your head, it cuts off, okay, and your volume goes down. And so you're standing up here, and you're sitting maybe like in the second pew, and I ask you, Brother Hain, would you lead in prayer? Oh, yeah, glad to. Our Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your goodness to us. Glad that we're here tonight. You couldn't hear that in the back.
That's good teacher.
Okay? You need to just at least keep your head up. You said, "Oh, I'm talking to God." No, you're talking to other people. Now God's hearing, but you're talking to others. You're leading others. And they need to hear you. I like the fact that the Lord has picked up on this. I remember one time a couple years ago, I gave instruction to the... Now these plates are off-center. I gave instruction to the men who come and take the offering. I said, listen, when you're asked to pray for the offering, turn around. Now that just seems so, that you don't do it that way, but you should. Because you come up here, now would you lead in prayer? Father, thank you for the offering. We're grateful for what you provide for us. You heard it. God heard it. But you're to be praying with the other people. And I remember saying, when you come up here to take offering, turn around and pray so they can hear you. Dale does it, and he taught Luke, and Luke does it. There might be another one or two, but most don't. It just seems to, I don't know, what does it seem? That causes people to, we've asked you to lead, so we want to hear. Okay? So don't hesitate, turn around. And pray for the offering. Now listen, when you're asked to pray for the offering, pray for the offering. We don't need to know that everything was fine with you and you're happy that everybody's here. We are, but you've been asked to pray for the offering. Does that make sense? Now see, that's not in my notes. This is going in the direction I didn't figure out. But I know it's needed because I'm here. And so if you're asked to pray for the offering, turn around so people can hear you pray. They want to pray with you. So now, they didn't know that. They know it now. Okay, yeah. It's a teaching time. And so you want to be heard. And that's why I say don't bow your head, because then you're praying to the floor. And so keep your head up and pray. You say, well, that seems so proudful. No, listen, that's not pride. That's just common sense. Okay? If you have pride in your heart to be heard when you pray, that's your sin. That's not from You can be turned around like this and have pride in your heart while you're praying to that offering plate.
Yeah.
And so that's between you and God. But as far as between you and the people that are in the church, and you know, there's many more on a Sunday. Just turn around. And after a while, everybody will get used to it. Okay, now, Dale was here more. I'd use him more for offerings. And he'd be showing us how it's done. But that's so important. So important. I'm glad I had opportunity to say that. That's been on my mind for a while. Now, I will not falter. God is always watching me. Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 11. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then I want to focus on one verse. Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of hate. Just right there, we read it. Because he hates violence and the people that commit violence. You say, well, God loves everybody. Yes, he does, but that love is in a different area and venue when it comes to the matter of them coming to him in salvation. But here he's describing what the wicked man does, and God hates it. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold, he sees the upright. Verse 4, his eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. You say, well, his eyes behold, understand that. The pupils, the eyeballs, they see. But what's this with the eyelids? Okay, that's very fascinating to study. You study it out and let me know. But basically, what I'm thinking is that just as, you know, I'm looking at Tim now with my eyes, but then according to how I, you know, squinch them shut, according to how they go to and fro, side to side, okay, and I think that's the type of thing that's being referred to there, the thoroughness of God's looking. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 13. Psalm 33, 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. I will not falter. God is always watching me. There is too much at stake for me to not be faithful. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Everything that we do, God considers. You say, well, how can he do that? There's so many people, millions of people around the world. And how can he consider what each of them is doing at any one given time? He is God.
Right.
In my flesh, in my humanity, I could wonder how, I have wondered, how can he know everything for everybody all around the world? And I came to this conclusion. He's God.
Amen.
You see, we're trying to put God down into the abilities of a man. But he's God. And I will not falter. I sit at home. I've told you already how Mrs. Hain had the Bible verse and she had me print it out, and it's in a frame next to our TV. And that is, boy, I just drew a blank on what it is. Thank you. Again. I will set no evil thing before my eyes, okay? And that's there. Now I'm alone, aren't I? Mrs. Hain isn't there to say we ought to change the channel. But God is there.
That's right.
I could go to most any program I wanted to go to. When I'm on the internet with my iPad, I could search around and find many a place.
Mom, go ahead, brother.
That would appeal to my flesh. But I will not falter because God is watching. I don't know what the people in heaven know. There was something that happened here a few days ago, and I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know if can an angel tell her about this? I don't know. Probably not. But in my humanness, I'd like to think that maybe. Okay. Oh, I'm waiting for the salvation of several of you. I'm praying for you. And when you get saved, I know the angels of heaven rejoice. To the believers that are there, ask the angels, what are you rejoicing over? Is it possible that an angel would say, I'm rejoicing over Samantha that got saved. I'm rejoicing over Charity that got saved.
Right.
I'm rejoicing over Dan and Jen. That's where they sit back there.
Right.
That got saved.
Yeah, come on. Go ahead.
And others that are searching and seeking.
Help.
We don't have any clear scripture that tells us people in heaven can know. I believe the cloud of witnesses is referring to all of those. That's in Hebrews 12. I believe it's referring to all of those in Hebrews chapter 11. But nevertheless, you see, even though it's referring to all of those in chapter 11, somebody is a cloud of witness that's already up there. So it's not impossible. I like to think it is possible. You say, well, you're just saying that because of Mrs. Hain. You are 100% right. But I'm not the only one. I have a section in the 6x9 3-ring binder. In the section, it comes from Pat's prayer notes, and it's a section for people that are alone. There must be 50 people in that list. I've marked those that are widows or widowers, others that are alone because they're single. There's a couple there that are alone because the foolish husband left. When I know how those women live and how they have provided for their home and how godly they are. Just last night I prayed, oh Father, the foolishness of her husband that left. He gave up so much that he could have had. I pray for those that are alone. I pray for you, Tommy. You're on that list.
Amen. Amen.
I pray for those that are alone. I will not falter. God is always watching. I'll finish with 1 Peter chapter 3, then we got to get to prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord, there you go again, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And that it's against them that do evil. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're believers or unbelievers. God is against evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer. See, who's if you do good and as a follower of Jesus Christ, most people are going to be pleased because you're going to have a good life. You're going to have an honest life. And they don't oppose that. However, God knows the reality. So look at verse 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, not suffer for the dumb things we do, the dumb things we say. No, that we deserve to suffer for. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Just set the Lord apart in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer for every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. All right, be ready to give an answer. Well, then in Luke it says, when they take you up before the leaders of the temple, don't worry about what you're going to say. God will help you to know what to say. But here he says, be ready to give an answer. That's not a contradiction. That's just two different ways of approaching the same thing. In the one instance, let God tell you what to say to those leaders of the temple. In this one, he says, just you be ready whenever somebody asks to give a reason. But you see, I will not falter because God is always watching. Father in heaven, oh, thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Father, for giving me the opportunity to share with these folks.